We are kind of finishing up a series today. The gods at war. Next week, I am going to do a little bit of an addition because our small groups and everything are done after today. In fact, it's a powerful look today at the video and the things that the small groups are doing today. But next week, I want to do God on the throne. Kind of, what does it look like? What does that look like when Lord, you're God? And we're going to talk about that next week. We'll hit a little bit of it today, but it'll kind of end next week. But we have been in this series. If this is your first time today, welcome, most of all. But we've been in this series that we've called Gods at War. Gods at War. Now, what are we talking about gods and why are they at war? Okay? You'll see what I mean. Gods are what we're talking about. They're not true gods. They're false gods. Okay? They're false gods. But they're the things that we look for, long for, worship, and they're idols, if you will, idolatry, those things that we hold up, that we attain to be, that we think have something that will meet great needs that we have in here. Therefore, gods at war. What's the battleground? The battleground's your heart. Battleground's your the affections of your heart. That is who you are in here. And so, and it's a battle going on. And we've talked, there's a lot more than these, by the way. We talked about pleasure, which in our world, our country has really gotten to be, being happy kind of seems to be what people are pursuing and what they want the most. And the more we pursue it, the less we catch it. And then we talked last week about the gods of love. Those are relationships in our life. You know, we're thinking, boy, if we just had this relationship, or if we could just do this or that, or we compare it with others, and we think, and we remember and understand that there's nothing in this world that has what it takes. And then money and power. And then we're going to do the God of me today, which somebody has appropriately said that kind of seems to be the one that's over all of them. And you'll see in just a minute what that looks like. But God's at war. How does something become a God in your life? And it's whatever God you serve and whatever God you sacrifice for. What do you mean serve and sacrifice? Well, what do you spend most of your time doing? Since your time is your life, that's taking, and when you take time and talents, that's where you get served. Sacrifice is your time, your resources, finances. What do you spend your time and your money and other things on? I can promise you the Bible says that where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to go. So whatever you spend those things on, sacrifice those things for, that is where your heart will go. And whether you think of it that way or not, it becomes what you worship, adore. You make it an idol in your life. It's interesting how it works. Now, see, we don't talk about idolatry anymore because we don't make hunks of stone, carve hunks of stone, right? And we don't bow down and offer, you know, different kind of sacrifices, you know, for it. But we worship everything nonetheless, right? So that's what we've been talking about. It's been pretty eye-opening to take a look. Today's not going to be an easy day either. That has something that has caught me. Kind of unprepared for. I didn't realize just how truthful this would be, but how hard to look at. Because I know that as I talk about these things, that there's some pain in these different areas. And whenever we have to look at pain, you know, we've just learned to kind of look away and say, okay, it's not there. Jeff, let me live in denial. It's great. But it's huge. When we can understand that these things, we think we have them, but they have us, that's when it becomes a God in your life, right? So as we walk through this, this is interesting. You'll see today, again, how tough of a subject this can be. My bet is that the majority of us in the room have struggled with this last one, the God of me. Because see what happens is, in our culture, it's real easy to make a God of yourself because that's what our world does. It makes a God of me. Therefore, I'm in charge. I create my own little world that I'm God of. And I make everybody follow my rules in my world. right? And there's this whole thought about just, again, I'm not dependent on anybody. I can get whatever I want. I can do whatever I want. I mean, it's an illusion. It's not reality. But we think it is. But that's where you get things. Because let me tell you what, the popular thing, especially in academic circles today, is that there is no God. Okay, and I don't want to bust your bubble here, okay? But I want you to think about it this way. Let's say that that's true. Then what have you got left? What you got left is, I'm God. And that never works out well. You'll see why in just a minute. You see, everything up here is good. Okay? As long as it remains a gift that's given to you, then it's great. There's nothing up here that's negative. But when the gift becomes a God, that's when it becomes abusive, really. I'm here to tell you. It's true. I mean, I think about this money. I mean, that money can be a very positive and a great thing. Okay? I mean, it can provide all kinds of opportunities. It can bless people, right? It can allow you to do fun things as long as it's a gift. But gosh, if it ever becomes a God, it can be a cruel taskmaster. I think you understand what I'm talking about. So let's talk about this. I've used the same outline every week. And this is the last week for the outline. Okay? And the outline goes with 3 points, right? It goes the gift, the trap, and the resolution. The gift, the trap, the resolution. Now, number one, okay, if you want to take down some, what I'm going to call the gift of life. Okay? All right. You are God's gift to the world. You ever heard anybody say that? Who do you think you are, God's gift? You know, in reality, you are. Okay? All of you are. In this thought that you are created, you're not just some happenstance. You didn't evolve from a pool of goo. You were thought about. You were created. You were made. Scripture teaches that. Psalm chapter 139 says, I praise you, David says, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That is, I'm fearfully and wonderfully created. Therefore, God created me. I'm not God. He is. I am the created one. And that, believe it or not, that is huge in your understanding. That is why so many today try to do away with the concept of God. Because if you have the concept of God, then you have all kinds of things that go with that. Okay? So when we think about this gift of life, right? I want you to know the scripture says that other than through Christ, really, nothing was created that was created. And in Genesis 1 and Genesis 3, we are created in God's image. Therefore, life, existence, is an incredible gift. And it's supposed to be fulfilling and satisfying. But also, it's interesting. We were created needy. Okay? We were created needy. You are needy. You were created that way. But see, when we want to somehow think and say, well, I'm not needy, I'm self-sufficient. Maybe in little areas. You want to know how needy you are? Hold your breath. I'll give you about 2.5 minutes and you'll see just how needy you really are. You have more needs than you can imagine. And yet, it's an interesting thing that we were created that way. And therefore, but it is a gift, but you were created, okay, to have certain things. It's not just air and water and food. Those are physical needs. You were created with many more needs than just that. And where you go to meet those needs says a whole lot about you. I can take care of myself. Okay? I can do it myself. I don't need anybody. I understand that, and part of that, if you look at it in the positive way, has some healthiness to it. But there's a bigger part of that that somehow thinks that I'm the master of my own fate, right? I can do what I want to do. But I want you to understand that in the state of it is that you are a gift. But whenever you becomes a god, all kinds of problems begin. Right? All kinds of problems begin. I would dare say that the biggest struggle we have, especially in our culture, is the God of me. We are training everyone to make themselves a god. Right? Create your own little world and let everything. And that becomes the trap. So you've understood the gift. It is an incredible gift and can be great, incredibly satisfying. Different needs that we have. If we have those needs met by the one who is intended to meet them. But number two, here's the trap. And the trap is not real difficult to explain, but listen to me. It's hard to hear. Guys, I'm telling you what, I don't enjoy doing things that I know can be tough for people to hear. But I'm driven by so much of just wanting you to hear the truth because there's so many lies out around us. And it's leading people down paths that are just not good. And you're going to see them. I'm going to have to share some things today that they're going to be tough to hear. Why? Because the common accepted practice in our culture today is this, even though we don't call it that. You'll see it. It'll all come clear to you in just a moment. Okay? But in Genesis chapter 3, this is the story of the fall, right? When sin entered into the world. And I'm going to skip a little bit just for time's sake. And guys, I need you to skip down to verse 4. And it says, this is one of the first lies. And it's a lie, I believe, that people have bought today. It says, but the serpent said to the woman, you shall not die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will open. Here we go. And you will be like God. Now, is it the truth? No. It's a lie. And so there's this picture. Of course, you'll be able to know the difference between good and evil. And that part was true, but it was only half true. And so when you look at this thought of somehow I'm the sinner. Somehow it has become me. I will be like God. I won't have to depend on anybody because I can take care of myself, provide for myself, protect myself. I am self-sufficient. Remember, this is a delusion. You know, a noted atheist wrote the God delusion. But I'd like to write a book called The Man Delusion that somehow thinks that you are self-sufficient and independent. It's really laughable. It's like a little kid that is driving the fake car as dad drives the real car. He somehow thinks in his mind he's driving the car. You know, and it really is that laughable. Because listen to what happens. Listen to the catchphrases today. What are the catchphrases today? If you don't look out for yourself, nobody else is going to. Right? You got to grab all you can get. Why you only go around once, right? Think about this one. You know what the catchphrase, I've said this before, but you know what the catchphrase in the advertising industry is? Because you deserve it. How many times do you hear it? Because you deserve it. Question. Don't answer this out loud. Do you deserve it? Don't answer. Do you really? You know what the Bible says? The Bible says you don't deserve anything. If you deserved it, then Jesus wouldn't have come to the cross. The whole foundation of everything in the Bible is based on one word. It's called grace. That is a gift that you need that you don't deserve. That's the textbook definition of the word grace. And you don't deserve it. But we worship God. Why do we worship God? Don't answer it out loud. I want you to just think. Just think for a second. I want you just to see how all this fits together. Why do we worship God? Because he's worthy of our worship. Right? Isn't that what you normally hear? What else does that say? Because he deserves it. You hear where it's coming? You hear why the phrase is that? It's making the individual the God. Why? Because you deserve it. It's called who you are. Right? And so here's the problem. Here's the issue. Beth Moore, who I actually really like her stuff, she's a women's Bible study teacher. Gets a little emotional for me at times, but she's really good. But she's come up with a phrase called globehead. I really like it, but I wanted to give her credit. Is that we are teaching and training people today to become globeheads. That is, the globe revolves around me. Right? It's all about me. It's all about my world. It's all about my rules. It's all about what I want. And guys, I'm here to tell you, it's not easy to hear, but there is not a better recipe for misery than being self-focused. Right? We know it to be the truth, but there's not a better recipe for it. In fact, when you think about this, this is why you hear the things you hear. This is why, think about today. Think about the day in which we live. Think about how nobody's wrong. Think about not telling children no. That's negative. No, it's not. It's true. No. Right? We are growing children that are globeheads. You'll see it in just a minute. They're told that they don't do anything wrong. They're constantly, constantly encouraged and pumped up. Jeff, what's wrong with that? We're creating little monsters that can't even see that they do wrong. Don't even know the difference between the two. We've allowed these people who are creating little gods out of everybody to teach them that. Interesting, isn't it? Yeah, well, I want my child to know how special he or she is. Do you really? Do you know where that leads? It leads to a globe head. Right? I'm special. There's no one like me. Right? We call it a positive self-image. In reality, all it does is create the God of me. I'll give you proof. We have educators in the room. I will take donations afterwards from you about what I'm about just to say. Let me ask you a question. When the teacher calls home and says your child's been acting up in class, whose fault is it? Ask these educators. 90% of the time, the reason the kid's acting up in class is because they know at home they are not held accountable. It can't be my kid's fault. Why? Because he's his own little world. In his world, what he's doing is not wrong. So it's got to be the teacher's fault. Guys, you may not want to hear it, but it is the truth. It is the truth. I don't know about you, but I'm just old enough. I lived in mortal fear that a teacher would call my dad. I would act right for the sole reason that they wouldn't call my dad. Because I knew that my dad was going to take my authority's side. Oh, well, you got to tell your kid you're on their side, even when they're wrong. I think you hear it. I think you see it. But it's not easy to look at. Why? Because this is where our whole culture's gone. We're creating little gods and little worlds. And we're wondering why we're struggling and why we're abusive to others. You want to know why we're abusive to others? Because it's not about you, it's about me. Therefore, if I have to hurt you to help me, then you're in trouble. Because it's my world. Okay, in case you're not believing me, it's going to get worse before it gets better. Right? Let me give you some pictures. Okay? Let me give you some what I'm going to call symptoms of this trap. I'm going to give you some symptoms of this trap. Here we go. Number one is arrogance. Arrogance comes when someone thinks that they are right and never wrong. That's because they've created their own little world that they're God in and they call the shots. I don't answer to anybody. Why? Because I live in my world. Right? And so we have this picture, this arrogance, therefore I'm always right. My way is the best way. Okay? I can do it if I put my mind to it. Right? I'm right. Therefore, I've got to be omniscient. Right? So I've got my own little God-like qualities in my world. Okay? Arrogance is not just, it just doesn't come across always real cocky. It's a lot of times it's just the way that everybody is being patronized today in this picture. All right, number two, insecurity. I know that sounds strange, but see what happens is, if you're God of your own little world, you've got to know that you're in trouble. Right? Because you don't have what it takes to come through for you. Those who have this struggle almost always have tremendous insecurities. Not everybody who's insecure has this problem. But it is one of those eventually. It's just that those who have this problem hide it, hoping nobody will ever see it. Right? Insecurity. This is why you have PR firms. You know what a PR firm is? And not all of them, but you know what I'm saying. I'm going to get in trouble, all right? A PR firm presents a lie about who you are. Because this is who I want to be, not who I am. If you are that, then you don't have to advertise it. All of these, you know, internet things, you know, pages where we present, we want people to see something that we're not. Not everybody. But when you're God of your own little world, you live in insecurity that someone might find out that you're truly not as in control as you think you are. Guys, I've been around a lot of people. And I've found that anybody that struggles in this area of arrogance and other things, they almost always struggle with insecurity. But see, the problems with arrogance is we've renamed arrogance. You know what we call arrogance today? Confidence. Right? Well, he's not arrogant, he's just confident. No, he's arrogant. Right? He has this thought, or she has this thought, that it's all about me. It's interesting. All right, number three. Defensive. Why? Because you can't be wrong. And anybody that offers a suggestion has to immediately be banished from your world or to be put in their place. Therefore, those who are real, 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 real defensive, it just makes sense, right? Right? Number three is defensive. Number four, this is the tough one, lonely. This is what makes this struggle so painful. Because, guys, let me just be coy with you. Nobody likes being around someone who's always right. No one likes being around somebody that all they ever talk about is themselves. Nobody likes being around someone that thinks they know everything. And so invariably, this person becomes lonely because people start distancing themselves from them. You see, guys, when you become absorbed with self, it just naturally isolates you. And that the people you do have in your life, you use them until they get sick of being used. So they disappear. See, that's why I'm trying to tell you. This God of me doesn't work. When you become it's all about you, I'm here to tell you, not only doesn't work, but it leads to some real rough places. Interesting. Lonely. Boy, that's not a four-letter word, but it ought to be. I don't think there's anything worse than just sheer lonely, isolated, right? Now, there is a difference between being alone and lonely. I don't know about you, but I sometimes long to be alone. But when I'm alone, I'm not lonely. Okay, so you're catching me, right? But you know what I'm talking about, lonely. Right, you know what I'm talking about. Right? Number five, this is kind of the coup de grace that really sticks out. They can't handle authority. Why? Because if I'm God in my own world, you're not going to tell me what to do in my world. Right? Because I'm God. Right? I have found that is the hallmark. This is one of the hallmarks of those who struggle in this area. Is that they're not going to listen to anybody. And I found that one of the great virtues of the scriptures is humility, which is the opposite of this, right? Humility is an interesting thing when you think about being humbled. That is, that's usually when somebody has been shown that they aren't right, and their whole little God world comes crashing in on them. We'll talk about that in a minute. But this can't handle authority. This is the key issue. And this is why people struggle so much. If you've made God yourself, anytime anybody tells you what to do, then you immediately can't stand it. And immediately you'll... I'm here to tell you, if you can't be told what to do, then you're not ever going to have a job. I tell you, one of the greatest things to be taught is to take orders. In fact, I'll go a little bit. I had a military officer last night come up and say, "Oh, thank you so much for saying that." He says the best people to give orders are those who at one time in their life have taken orders. Because if you don't know how to take orders, you will be a tyrant giving orders. Are you hearing me? I hope you hear me. This is not easy to hear. I understand that. But I am here to tell you, it is the truth. The most popular God today that people worship is the God of self. And I'm here to tell you that it doesn't work. You will constantly be empty. It will constantly be something you go to over and over again, and you will become less and less content and satisfied with the things around you. And then you'll turn up the pressure on those around you, and you'll become more isolated. It is, again, it's not easy to hear, but it is the truth. It is the truth. You were not created to be the God of your own world. And you won't be very good at it. All right? But it is interesting. It is interesting to look at. As long as me stays a gift from God, different things can happen. But when me becomes the God, it's like all of these things and many others. Let me throw this in there. Guys, you do know that there are many other gods that people worship today than these. Let me throw one out that may surprise you. I've tried to share with you several through the weeks. Let me call the one the God of religion. Whenever we make religion a false idol. Jeff, what are you talking about? All right. Hang with me. You know those. Those who fall in love, if you will, or they start worshiping things, statues, beads, right? Lists of things that you do and don't do. You ever been around people who have made religion their idol? I don't want to be ugly. I'll probably make some people mad. But they can be downright mean. Mean-hearted, mean-spirited, and judgmental of everybody else for not doing it as well as they do. Guys, I'm here to tell you, that's not a gift. That's when it becomes a god, and that's when you're way out of bounds. I know because they tell me when I don't do something right. I'm here to tell you, you're talking oppressive and unfulfilling and make you, the god of religion will make you just as empty as any of these things. You see, guys, God didn't come to give us religion. He made us to have a relationship with him. And when that goes unfulfilled and you turn to these other things, even if it's religious, you will end up empty. Interesting, huh? Interesting how this fits. I think this has been the compelling thing. I know it's been hard to hear, but you keep coming back because I know it's true and I want to hear more, all right? But I don't want to hear it. All right? It's an interesting thing to look at. All right? So we have this picture. We have this picture of then the trap. The trap. All right, let's take a look. Number three, the resolution. And I've got to speed through a little bit of this, but there's part of this I just can't let you miss. Jeremiah chapter 2 is one of my favorite verses. In I have carried Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 9 and following around with me. And it constantly is a reminder to me to this, what we're talking about, not only today, but this whole series. In Jeremiah chapter 2, the first few verses you're going to go, what is it you talking about, Jeff? But you'll see when we get down to the last one. But take a look at Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 9. And there's this thought of, hey, okay, look at this. Cross to the coasts of Cyprus. In other words, if you know where they are over in Israel, cross over to Cyprus, right? Go to Cedar, okay? And examine with care. See if there has been such a thing. Look at this. Has a nation changed its gods, even though they aren't really gods? Is that not amazing? If you haven't caught on, I'll explain it to you. It's real easy. What he's telling them is, hey, guys, travel around the world. You'll see that basically everybody is worshiping the same thing. You know that today we are still worshiping the same things that they worshiped 1,000 years ago? Right? Right? This one's known as Aphrodite. Right? That one there is known as Apollo. Right? God of wine. Right? Right? Go over here. This is in the Israel days. Money and power kind of went together. Okay? That was Baal. We just don't have names for them today. Right? But we worship the exact same thing in our culture. But they're not really gods. I mean, it just told us. They're false gods. They're idols. They're not real. But they become real. And they become pursuits. And we sacrifice our time and our resources to them. And they become so important to us that it becomes a pursuit. And the more we pursue them, the emptier we get. That's what this verse is saying. Now, this verse really gets to some real logic. Let's take a look at it. All right. Has a nation changed its gods, even though they are not gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked. Be utterly desolate, declares the Lord. Verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. Number one, they have forsaken me. And he gives us a metaphor. The metaphor is the fountain of living waters. So the Lord here touches on something of, you've got incredible needs that are like water to the human body. So you are seeking things to be fulfilled, and therefore you have forsaken me as being God and looked and started seeking other things. See what he's saying? I'll make more sense of it in just a minute. The fountain of living waters. And look at this. And you've made for yourself, or you've hewn out cisterns for yourselves. In other words, through your own effort. God, I don't need your water. I'm going to find my own. Right? I'm going to make my own. The God of me. Right down there on the end. They've hewn out cisterns for themselves. Broken cisterns that don't hold water. Now, what's a cistern? Okay, a cistern, we don't really have cisterns in our country. In fact, we never really have. We have wells. You dig down till you find water. A cistern is something you dig out of rock, and it's a big hole. Usually it goes a long ways around when you have a huge bedrock, and you catch water in it, and it sits in there. Okay, it's not flowing. It's not anything else. And so what he's basically saying is that you've forsaken me, God says, living water, and you've gone to do water for yourself. Therefore, you've gone to make yourself a god or something else. And what happens is, when you go for those gods, you wonder why you're thirsty. Why? Because they're broken cisterns, and they were never intended to meet what you're looking for. That's what he's talking about. Interesting, huh? John chapter 4, I'm not going to turn to it. I may use it next week, but you can write it down. It's a popular story that happened to Jesus. And it's commonly referred to as the woman at the well. Now let's talk about it just for a second. It's in John chapter 4, verse 4 and following, if you'd like to read it later. But Jesus is walking along and he comes upon a woman at a well. Hence, the woman at the well. Right? And so Jesus asks her for a drink, and, you know, there's a dialogue there, and Jesus eventually looks at her and says, listen, whoever drinks this water is going to get thirsty again. Remember what Jesus said? He said, but those who drink the water I give them will never thirst again. In fact, it will become a well springing up inside themselves. Right? Of course, this woman doesn't get what he's saying. Hey, give me a drink of that so I don't want to have to keep coming back here. She didn't get it. But then Jesus revealed something. Don't miss this. He said, go call your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said, you're right. You've had five husbands, and the guy you're living with now is not your husband. It's hard to have a conversation with Jesus. All right? This was her God. Thinking that she could find that one relationship that would come through for her. And she went from one to one, like they do today. One from one to one to one. And the more you go down the line, the emptier you get. And there she stood. Understanding what thirsty meant. Not physical thirst, but what we're talking about today. Right? See, any of these things can be a God. Especially me, but I'm coming to tell you. They're empty cisterns. And we keep going back to them, thinking that somehow this time it's going to come through for me. And it never does. You know, in CR, they call it the definition of insanity. It's keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. The definition of insanity, right? As I close, under this resolution, under this thought, again, I'm here to tell you, this is the preferred God of choice, and yet we know it doesn't work. Because I'm here to tell you, I could give you anything you want, anytime you wanted it, for the rest of your life, and you know what would happen to you? You'd become a miserable person. You know what people will say to me? Well, yeah, but I'd like to give it a shot. Right? So as I close, I want you to know that the resolution to this is not hard to understand, but it's difficult. And here's three things for you to take with you. Number one is what I'm going to call realization. This isn't easy. I'm here to tell you, this is hard to see in yourself. It's hard to admit. For most of us, it's like, okay, this makes me uncomfortable. As soon as I get out that door, I'm going to watch a football game and it'll all be over. Right? I understand that. Let me just get me out of here. I hear next week's going to be easier for to listen to. We'll be fine. Right? But you got to face the facts. You got to take a look. It's not someone else's struggle. You know, it's like I told you before, people that come to me and say, Pastor, that was great. There are a lot of people in there that needed to hear that. Right? The great part about this is not for everybody else. This is for you. And taking an honest look, I'm here to tell you one of the greatest gifts, it doesn't seem like a gift at the time, but one of the greatest gifts you can ever receive is to see this. Sometimes God works in people's lives to show them this. I call it realization, right? I call it realization. Some of you that are hard-headed like me, this God of me won't die easy. And if God really loves you, he'll provide an education for your realization. What's the education? Sometimes it's pretty tough. Anything that basically shows you you're not as in control as you think you are. Sometimes it's a two before across the head. Right? That wakes you up and lets you see. I call it realization. Some might be smart enough just to face it without any event like that. Okay? But either way, you have to realize it's the hardest part. Guys, do you ever wonder why our world is starting to question? Why did Jesus die on the cross? What's the big deal about that? It's because they don't see their need. Right? They don't see their need. Why? Because they're the God of their own little world. As far as they're concerned, according to their rules, they haven't done anything wrong. Right? Who needs Jesus? They're all over television. So number one is realization. Number two is really easy. You have to seek the Lord then. I found you will find what you're looking for in seeking Him, but you can't seek Him or you won't seek Him until first of all you realize it. See, it's not that difficult, but also it's not that easy either. And then number three, you got to forsake the empty cisterns. Okay, guys, there's no water there. You got to stop going back to the same well that there's no water. Right? But I'll tell you what, it's tough. When we're used to it. Right? We're used to it. Call it an addiction, call it whatever you want to. But why do we keep going back to the same thing? Why did the woman keep going back to relationships with men? Because she thought, if I just found the one. But I'm here to tell you, relationship with men, relationship with women, they don't have what it takes to come through for what you really need. You're not going to find it in a bottle, right? You're not going to find it in relationship. You're not going to find it in entertainment. You're not going to find it in money. You're not going to find it in any of these things. They're all false idols that are awesome as gifts. But they make terrible gods, right? There is only one God, right? And He is the one that created you to be able to meet that need, the source of what we call living water. It's pretty amazing when you begin to see how it all fits.